Welcome back to another episode of our Eagle Perspective podcast. I'm Mike Siciliano, Dean of Students of the Upper School. I am joined today by the one and only Dorcas and Dume.
Hi.
Dorcas, thank you for being here.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity to be here.
I don't know that anyone has ever deserved this opportunity more. Let me start with that.
So, thank you.
So
thank
just you. For people who don't know, you're currently a senior.
Yes.
You are graduating soon.
Yep, which is insane to think about. It's happening so fast.
Yeah, it is insane because I remember when you were a freshman who just showed up.
And oh
that
my.
Feels like yesterday.
During COVID.
During COVID, the infamous red gold year.
Woo! That was quite something.
Well, I am so glad to get to sit down with you because I think you've had one of the most amazing and also unique journeys at Santa Fe. So we're gonna talk a lot about your time here.
Awesome.
Yeah. So why don't you do a quick introduction of yourself just for anyone who doesn't know you, maybe when you started at Santa Fe and some of the things you've been involved in, which for you I know is a very long list.
It's like I'll keep it short. So my name is Dorcas, just like you said. I am a senior this year. I came to Santa Fe Christian since freshman year. So this is basically my fourth year. It's been awesome. I am involved, like you said, in so many things, but to keep it short, I am a president of the BSU club here, Black Student Union Club, and I am part of the theater. I am part of other clubs such as Service Club, the Medical Club, and Women Leadership Club. What else?
I think. Well, what sports have you played
sports.
During your time?
I've played volleyball, I've done cheer, basketball, and a little bit of flag football.
Okay.
And then track and field.
And then, okay, so only five sports. Okay, and then have you been a part of any of our global ministry trips?
Yes. I went to Rwanda in February, which was awesome. So we were there for like 10 days, something like that.
Okay.
It was an amazing. It was a life-changing thing.
And then you are also going on another trip.
I am also going on another trip, which I'm really looking forward to. We only have 1 week left.
Yeah.
So I'm going to France next week, basically. Mm-hmm. That's going to be awesome.
Okay. And then have you also represented Santa Fe at things around the country, maybe like a conference for female students?
Yes. So I'm involved with this outside of organization called Daughter of Destiny, and I forgot the complete name, but this is a group of just young girls and female where we get to just talk about growing up as what it's like being a woman, good influence in things you should be involved with. And I've talked about Santa Fe and how that has changed my life and how it's amazing being here. And just kind of like giving that perspective, like, hey, there's a variety of schools you can get involved with out there that could, you know, opportunities to get a great education and stuff like that.
Awesome. And then you were also our representative at Girls State last year.
Girls State. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I mean, I know it's hard to keep it all straight.
Yes. I did Girls State my junior year, which was great and amazing, but just what it is, just having the opportunity to learn about politics, the U.S. history, and just running a mock government trial. And so you get to actually run for things and campaign and all that.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
And then that's only for juniors.
Yes.
But are you being invited back next year?
I am. I just got the email actually 2 days ago saying that they wanted me to go back and speak and just share my experience and how it was.
Okay. And that happens for everybody that goes to Girls State.
Something, but they only usually choose 4 people to come speak.
Yeah, I was being sarcastic. No, it's a very high honor.
Of course. I'm not surprised, Mrs. Liano.
You're not surprised that I'm sarcastic?
Yes.
Do I have a reputation for being sarcastic?
Very much
okay,
so.
Okay, excellent. I'd be very disappointed if you'd said something different. So, okay, and then how many times were you on the homecoming court?
Just twice.
Just twice, okay, which is the maximum amount of times you're allowed to be on the homecoming court.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, yes, no, it is. I'm confirming that it is. All right, so I would say it's safe to say you have experienced as much of Santa Fe as anybody ever who's been through here. I mean, like, you really dove in and were just like, I'm going to do that. Right? Safe to say? Okay.
Yeah.
I love it. We're going to talk a lot about that.
Okay.
But I want to hear first, and because you have an amazing story, and I know it hasn't always felt that way. It's been a hard story. But I think for someone who were to just kind of look through the list of all your many accomplishments, you know, it'd be like, oh, Matt, wow, high-flying kid. But it's pretty incredible when, just because I know a little bit about your story. Mm-hmm. So let's start with, you know, as a long way of getting to how'd you get to Santa Fe, let's start with where were you born and then how did you get to the United States?
Sounds good. Starting from the bottom. So I am originally from Burundi. That is where I was born, but my parents are originally from Congo, DRC. Mm-hmm. And then they moved to Burundi, which is where most of my my siblings and I were born. And then from there was just so much going on. We had to just fly out. We had to, what is that called? The word.
Immigrate, or you were a refugee?
We had to evacuate.
Evacuate.
Okay, we had to evacuate, yes, and come here. So it was not really a choice we had.
Can I ask what was going on?
It was just a lot of political just issues, people dying. It's hard to say. Now I'm comfortable to say it because it was a long time ago. It's in my past.
Yeah.
But it was just hard just being 9 years old then and just being able to see that, like, eye to eye. Still in my head, I can still remember that day. We had to leave, but it was just not safe for my family and I, so we kind of just had to
And you left on a day's notice.
Yes.
I mean, this wasn't like planned.
It was not planned, no. They gave us a few days, and we had to figure out the paperwork and stuff quickly to just make sure it was all figured out to move.
Okay, stop me if you don't want me to ask a question further about it.
Sounds good.
But, I mean, what was that like as a nine-year-old? I mean, what happened? Your parents were just... hey, we got to go. And where did you go? And what was going through your head?
Mm-hmm. When that happened, when my parents just sat us down in the living room and just told us about, hey, we actually have to move. We have to now start packing. We got to go. We have to stay somewhere before we leave, though. I'm like, what? This is crazy. Now I have to leave my friends behind, or the people I grew up with, the culture. I'm like, where am I moving? Like, part of me was really excited, but part of me was also very scared because I didn't know what to expect. And I didn't know, is this really happening? I just keep questioning that in my head. I'm like, this is nuts. But at the same time, I was really excited because I'm like, oh my gosh, I get to just go I get to go to America? Is this, am I dreaming? Like, please smack me.
Yeah.
And it was great. And so we got here and I did not speak English back then. I only knew Swahili and I was speaking French. And so we had to learn English from literally how to say hi. I did not know what hi was. I learned it from the airport, actually.
You learned hi at the airport?
Yes.
Which airport? Where did you fly into?
It was, what's it called? The airport here in San Diego.
Oh, San Diego.
Yes.
Okay. So
you went
straight
from New York.
You went to New York. Yeah. Gotcha.
And so started learning English, and then I came to Santa Fe in 2021, right? Yes?
Fall 2020.
Okay,
yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
But before then, I was going to a school called City Tree Christian School,
mm-hmm.
Which is all just a middle school. And then from there, I was like trying to figure out where I wanted to go to school. I'm like, well, I don't really want to go to a public school, just so much going on. I'm not sure if I'll get a better education there. Just debating what I was praying so hard. And then somebody told me, oh, there's a school in Solana Beach called Santa Fe Christian. I'm like, okay, what's that about? But I don't know. I've never heard of Santa Fe Christian before. And then she brought me here. Her name actually is Janet Allen.
Mm-hmm.
So she brought me here. And
she had kids go through Santa Fe.
She had her daughter, I think, graduated in 2017.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And then when we came here, I saw the school. I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like I needed to be here. Like, oh my gosh, I want to come here. What do I need to do? And she was like, you have to go through this entire process because it's so far from where I lived. It's like, you have to just do all this interview application. I'm like, wow, okay, it's okay. I'm praying that I get in. And so I was praying, did all this interview, the testing, the application. It was a very long process. I was stressing. I'm not gonna lie. I was stressing. But God really answered my prayer because I was more worried about it being more private school and you have to pay to come here. So I was like, how's that going to be possible? And that was my main doubt. But with that, it actually was a season for me that actually influenced my faith as well, because it pushed me to actually trust in God and not knowing what's going to happen next. I was like just praying. I'm like, if I don't get in, it's okay. But if I get in, that'll be a miracle and just a dream come true because I see myself coming here. And when I did, my mom actually pranked me. I got home. She was like, oh, they did not accept you. I'm like, what?
And she's like,
she was like, well, I guess I'm going to a public school. That's okay. I'm okay with that. But then she's like, no, actually, yeah, there's this old. And then she showed me the letter. I got accepted and I received all the stuff.
I did not know this. And I have so much more respect for your mom. That's amazing.
So it was just amazing. So I've been blessed. My just just extremely blessed being your Santa Fe Christian, not even a joke.
Yeah. Well, I do want to give a shout out to City Tree, your former school, because we now have, you've brought over like four or five students from City Tree behind you. And that place seems amazing. Yes. Like, I just know all of our students from City Tree are incredible young people, heart for the Lord. So huge shout out over there. But that said, you show up first day here at Santa Fe.
Woo!
Yes. What are you thinking? Because it's as much as in comparison to a lot of schools, we feel like the small school, it's a lot bigger than City Tree.
Yes, it's much bigger than City
Tree.
Okay,
so what was that like? I mean, you walked on campus freshman year. You didn't know anybody.
Nobody.
Okay.
Nobody. Completely just new environment, new everything. I'm just like, am I going to be okay here? Like, if you're welcoming, I'm not going to lie, people are very welcoming. They're like, oh my gosh, we're so excited to have you here. This is Santa Fe Christian School. This is what we do. I'm like, okay, all right. So this is great.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I felt very just like, whoa.
Yeah.
Is this really happening? Mm-hmm. Am I really here? Am I going to be able to be involved in things? People going to like me? Just all these questions going through my head. Like, I mean, anybody as a freshman probably went through this for sure. But I was really excited, but at the same time, I was extremely just terrified and afraid because I did not know exactly what to expect. I'm just like, I'm just going to be in a classroom, just that kid walking by, you know, nobody's going to like. But then it's like, no, guy's actually with me. He brought me here for a reason because there's no reason for like me just getting accepted, being able to come here for if it wasn't for God. Like he has my back. And so just that hope was within me. And my parents just encouraged me. It's okay, you're gonna do great, just focus on your education, you get involved, you're gonna be great. Like, okay, all right.
Sure, mom and dad, whatever. Yeah.
Right. but that's pretty much it, I guess. Yeah. Unless there's anything else.
You might not remember this. I actually remember meeting you. I think you came on one of like the group visit days. This was like, you would have been an eighth grader.
Wow.
And I just remember you were sitting on a table like next to the stairs and you had your name tag on. It was like for kids who were interested in coming to Santa Fe. It was probably before you even got in. And
you recall a lot.
I totally remember
forgetting this.
Yeah, because you were like, "Yeah, I go to City Tree," and I was like, "Huh, I don't know if we've had any kids from City Tree before." Like that's why it stands out to me.
Oh my
goodness.
And
which, of course, now whenever the City Tree applicants come in, I'm like, "Let's take that kid."
Yeah.
So you've paved the way.
Thank you.
And clearly, any of your fears about, you know, will they like me and will I have totally been unfounded given, you know, how successful and beloved that, mm-hmm. that you've become here. You've mentioned a lot about faith already. Has faith been in your family from the beginning? Is that something that came later? Were your parents believers from the time of your birth or?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So, my parents have been Christians as long as I lived, at least.
Yeah.
but they've influenced my faith, but I did not accept Christ until my eighth grade year, actually.
Okay. Yeah.
So I got baptized right before my freshman year. That's when I personally accepted Christ. And ever since, it's been a journey.
Yeah.
It's been quite a journey. But yes, my parents have been Christian and they've been believers. They've really influenced my faith and just my life. Stuff like that.
Yeah. So how has both your faith and yourself, how have you grown during your time here at Santa Fe? I mean, what are some of the things you look back at that freshman year, Dorcas, and compare yourself to now, and you're just like, wow, I've really grown a lot.
Wow. Well, first is my confidence, because my confidence then, I would say, it was pretty low. I was just so self-conscious. I was in my head all the time. I'm just like, I'm not going to get along here. I'm not going to make any friends. Like, I was looking forward to getting to know God, but at the same time, like, just having so many doubts. I mean, that's a human thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say now I'm, like, more confident. I'm more talkative, more communicative, and I have the heart to want to be able to help people go through that journey that I went to, but being able to just, like, tell them, hey, I went through this, and it's okay to go through that. And just, like, this is some of the ways that I faced it. This is some of the ways I went over. This is some of the ways I came over my fears and my anxieties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've been involved in so much.
Yes.
Why have you chosen that particular route? I mean, mm-hmm. like, why have you chosen to just jump in and try things?
Okay. One is actually, it takes a lot of people because people are just, it's funny. When there's something going on, people want to convince you to try something. But it's like, am I really going to like it? No, maybe not. I don't know. Do I really want to try, you know? And then Claire Bassett was actually one of my biggest influence, especially when it comes to theater. And she's amazing. Shout out to Claire Bassett. She is amazing.
Class of 2021. Amazing person.
Yes. And so we just talked one time. We were just sitting on the lunch table, and she was just telling me about her journey, as well as Bella Reside as well. Mm-hmm. Telling me about things they've been involved with. And so I'm like, okay, that sounds amazing. And I'm like, this is kind of, you know, I look at the things that will really benefit me and things I'm actually interested in, things that will, you know, will help me grow. I'm like service club or medical club and stuff like that. That was one of the main things I was looking forward to.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes, you know, that's something I want to get involved with. And then sports has just kind of been within me. I'm like, I like, you know, staying fit. I like staying active.
You're really fast.
I'm quite fast. Yes, that's true. I'm not going to disagree. and so those are just things I love. It's not just about, oh, trying to do all these things to look good on college, which is great too. But I actually enjoy doing those things. Yeah. It just became part of who I am. It helped me grow tremendously, just in different perspective, different aspect of my life.
Yeah. What are one or two of the best things that you've done here that you point to and you say, gosh, you know, I mean, I've done a lot of things, but these one or two things have really been transformative for me.
One was me actually starting the BSU club. Mm-hmm. Because when I came, as I wanted to get involved, one of the things I'm really involved with outside of school is just being involved in just acting and, you know, Black History Month activities and stuff like that. And so when I asked around the school about students that's been here, about what they do for Black History Month, that was kind of one of my main questions. They're like, oh, we don't do anything. We've never had anything like that here. I'm like, oh, okay. Okay, I guess so. I mean, it's a different culture. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what to do then. I mean, I would want to have something like that because I think, you know, it's something people need to be knowledge about, people need to learn about. And so I talked to one of my friends, Anaria Brown, who was in my grade. Mm-hmm. Then was freshman year. I'm like, okay, what would you think if we started something like this? Like, would they be okay? Do you think this will get approved? She's like, I don't know, but let's try it. So that's when we started it. We just, I think we brought the idea up to you, Miss Rugi. And
yeah, freshman Dorcas came into my office and sat down, and you were like, I want to start this club.
I want to start this club.
Yeah.
I'm like, what do I need to do? And it was after actually the club fair. It was after the
club fair. Yes, it was after the club fair.
So yep. I was not sure how this was going to go down. And then just have to finish the constitution application and why I wanted mm-hmm. to do this. And during then too, was one of those seasons where we had a lot of riots and just a lot of things going on in our environment. And so I was a little bit scared because I was like, I don't want this to be influenced by that. This is based on how we can just bring culture to the school, being able to teach about, mm-hmm. You know, Black history, teach about who I am, because that is who I am. I want to be able to showcase that and be able to honor that. And so I was able to just do all the interview and application process. And hey, now we're here.
I mean, I would say the BSU has arrived. I mean, like, talk a little bit about some of the stuff you've done over the 4 years. And first of all, I do need to say thank you, because when I look now at Black History Month and the ways that we've gotten to be engaged in that, and the ways that, I mean, I have learned so many things through mm-hmm. it. It really is largely because of you and your club. And now it's just part of the fabric of what we do. Yeah. So thank you for bringing that.
Yes.
But talk a little bit about how that's grown and other things the BSU has done on campus that that have had impact.
So each year, which is continuing to grow, each year it gets better. We've been involved in a lot of local charities, local organizations such as the Rescue Mission, Little Ministry, just being able to help people like that and being able to host forums here that teach about just how it's like being a minority, how it's like being Black, how it's like just navigating through life at Santa Fe Christian School, but also just generally in life and culture and environment. Just being able to showcase the things that's going on around the world and being able to talk about that. It's just amazing. It's been really amazing. We've hosted a lot of events such as the Taste of Soul.
I mean,
that was last month.
It's maybe the best club event in the history of Santa Fe. So what is Taste of Soul?
So Taste of Soul was an event where we were able to showcase food, music, dances, just a lot of inventors, people that just been overlooked, and being able to just put them on, display them, and honor them and just being able to showcase them. Like, hey, we wouldn't have done this without you. You've done so many things. Why not showcase you? And just, I've been changed by that, by students' comments like, hey, this was actually amazing. Thank you for hosting them. Like, you know, that's really encouraging. Thank you.
Yeah. It has been really encouraging. I think I loved this year as part of Black History Month, an idea that you had, which, you know, because this isn't your first podcast now, because we did, because you said, hey, we should do short kind of podcast clips where we answer common questions, maybe some uncomfortable questions. And I think the first one we did, which you were in, was like, yes. So why do we celebrate Black History Month? And yes. And we'll make those available. People can check them out. Yes. But I think for students who are trying to navigate this culture and lots of messages about race and how are we supposed to feel about this, it's very tense. You seem to have done an amazing job of making that more personal for kids, both students of color and our Caucasian students. Like, how do you do that to where everybody loves you, even though you're taking on these hard topics that can sometimes be divisive? And I just feel like people are like, Dorcas helps me understand why it's important that I acknowledge this or I celebrate this. I mean, yes. What's that been like?
It's been amazing. You have to really look at the bigger perspective. It's not just about the color of your skin. It's about building a community with your unique differences, mm-hmm. and bring it together to learn from each other. And so putting it in that perspective makes it more comfortable for people to be able to learn about, and people to actually want to be more engaged in it. But not just more informational, but also being able to host events such as Taste of Soul or just other events that we will do in the past. Mm. I can't really recall.
Yeah, the music one last year.
The music one where we were able to dance and being able to bring somebody in to speak and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That brings more of our community. Like, hey, we have something going on. There's an opportunity for you to be able to learn and ask questions. It's not just me talking to you all day, every day. Yeah. I can do that, but here's also another opportunity for you to do that. And just being able to pull Christ within that aspect, within that situation, is also just a great way for it to just be blessed and be able to just be more.
Yeah.
Engaging.
Yeah, one of the ways I think that you guys have done a good job presenting this is, you know, listen, God made us all in the image of God, but he made us unique. You know, we all kind of represent some different pieces of him. Yes. And having clubs like the BSU and those events has actually helped build more community and be more unifying.
Exactly.
Because we're celebrating all those different aspects of God. It's not about, you know, I'm this and only this.
Exactly.
It's, you know, there are some unique pieces about me because of this, but how do we make that unifying
so
we all understand each other?
And I would say, like, my freshman year, sophomore year, there are always, like, a lot of questions. For example, people ask me about my hair. Like, how do you change your hair so fast? How do you get braids? Oh, my gosh, you have an afro and you should have braids? I'm like, yes. But now, back then, it was a little bit uncomfortable one to answer, but also for them to be able to ask that question because they don't want to sound offensive.
Yeah.
But ever since we started the BSU club, it's been just like, hey, wow, I love your hair. It's just a normal conversation, a natural conversation to have.
Yeah.
That's not offensive, but it's more like, oh yeah, that's what's up. That's my hair. Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's no like fear in it when they're asking the question, because we've built that community, we've built that environment, we've set the tone to be like, hey, it's okay to ask questions.
Yeah.
It's okay to want to know something that you're not sure about. And so that's kind of one of the highlights, one of the important things that I really value within the club that I,
run. I love right that. Now. And I'm going to add too that I see our students of color coming in now as freshmen. And I think it's a lot more comfortable for them because of the culture that you guys have helped establish, but also just having a group that they know they can plug into right away.
Yeah.
For some of that stuff that feels a little weird at first when you're in the minority and, you know, you're like, I don't know if everybody understands this piece of my culture. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you guys have really played a pretty key role there. So again, I'm going to say thank you like 7 times.
Glory to God. Honestly.
I love it. Okay. What else? Something else that you've been involved in here. You know, you've been involved in a lot of sports.
Yes.
You know, I know you recently got back from a trip. In fact, let's talk about that. I don't know if that's what you're going to pick, but I'm going to make you talk about it.
Let's do it.
Because that also has been a unique journey for you. And I think I'm going to be honest, it's been hard for me because, I mean, why don't you share a little bit? You were supposed to go on a trip a year and a half ago, almost at this point. I mean, what happened? Share for the audience.
So like I said, when we just gonna go, you know, get back a little bit. When we came here, we came with documents. Yep. It wasn't really quite passports, so a lot of people face that. But once you become a citizen, there you have you need to have your citizenship certificates. And for us, it was a very long process, and it was a very stressful process.
Which you, just to fill in some gaps from people who may not be following, you became a citizen how long ago?
So this was during COVID.
Okay, so you came here,
like,
and
you
immigrated here. You had documents to be here, but then you had to wait a certain amount of time before you could be citizen.
Yes.
You did that. You went through that whole process.
Yes. Okay. And then we had basically a month for the citizenship certificate to arrive, but it took 2 years for it to arrive, and so I had to miss on certain trips because of that. And
we put you on 2 trips.
Yes.
And the first one, and the whole time it was waiting for the right. To get your passport, you needed like 6 documents.
Yes.
And you had 5 of them.
Yes.
And you were waiting for this one document.
The one document that they really needed for, the passport to be issued.
Yeah.
Because I could not apply if I did not have that one particular document.
So, I mean, it was heartbreaking. Yeah. I mean, and I would imagine for you. I mean, like, how hard was that? Because you wore it well, right? I didn't see you breaking down, but I'm sure that happened. Like, that had to have happened, right? I mean, what was that like? You're watching all these other kids, you know, just go on these trips who have had their passport since birth. Mm-hmm. Had to have been tough.
No, it was. I would get home. I would get so excited to talk about it with my parents. They're like, oh my gosh, that's really exciting. And then my dad just did this back and forth, going to office, trying to make sure there's a way for us to expedite this process. There wasn't really anything we could do except to just wait. And it was just heartbreaking. I'm like, Lord, is this really happening? Like, why is this happening to me? Like, nobody else has to face this.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, Lord, I just need strength right now. It's really discouraging. Like, I'm getting a little bit emotional about this too right now.
That's okay. Sorry. I'm not trying to make it.
But, like, why is this happening? I just want to do that. I just want to go to a trip. I haven't been really out of the country ever since I immigrated here.
Yeah.
I just want to visit a different country. Just want to do your work, being able to influence people, being able to talk to people. But I don't know how this is going to happen. I only have 1 more year till I graduate. I mean, are we going to be able to just travel at all?
Yeah.
And I kept on praying and praying. I'm like, Lord, please answer my prayer. Please answer my prayer. Lord, back and forth, this, and that. I'm like, look, guys, please keep me in prayer. It's crazy. It's a harder process than it looks like. And so it's quite a journey. But then when God finally answered my prayer, oh my God, I'm about to cry. I was in my car alone. I was screaming. I was like, thank you, Jesus. This is really happening. Woo, sorry.
No, don't be sorry. It's good. It's real.
Yeah.
It's real.
I was just like, this is really happening. It was basically 2 weeks before we went to Rwanda when I got my passport.
Yeah, I remember that. Dorcas, I'm not going to lie to you. I may have shed a tear or two on that too. You know, we had all those moments of, I don't know if you remember, we tried to find organizations we'd have those phone calls with of like, you know, hey, can you, all the immigration groups, can you help get this girl a passport?
Yeah. And, yeah, I remember coming from, it was the senior trip, when they called me, I was not expecting that call. It was just anonymous call. I'm like, okay, who's calling me at this point? I was coming back from the senior retreat. And I answered, was like, oh yeah, you can come in and get your certificates. I'm like, what? And then I started the process of the passport application. I did that. And then, well, December, we were supposed to come. It didn't arrive.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, it got lost. We couldn't find your passport. I'm like, what? I only have a few weeks till my trip. This is stressful. I don't know what to do. What am I supposed to do now? It's lost. And so I just kept on calling. I was spending like hours just calling these people. And it's really hard to reach them, which is so annoying.
Yeah.
It's like 2 hours for them to just answer one call. But God was just in that process. It's just been amazing. Just gave me strength, the courage, and just the perseverance to be able to go through that. And it was not for nothing. He had a purpose for me to just wait, but also learn how to just trust him in the uncertainty, in the things that I don't know when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen. Is this really going to happen? I'm just like, Lord, it's all up to you now. It's all in your hand. I can't control this. And then I just kept on calling. And then when I finally got the call saying, hey, you have an emergency, appointment to come and just get your passport. We can figure this out. and I was there for literally 8 hours. I missed school that day. Remember, I called you.
Yeah,
the
you're
morning.
Like, you're like, would it be okay if I miss? I'm like, I will drive you there. You stay as long as you need
it's
to
crazy.
Stay.
So I waited there for 8 hours. I'm just waiting in the office. I was the last person just left and just sitting with myself in the entire room, the entire office. And they kept calling back and forth. I'm like, is this going to happen? Am I going to get my passport today? And he finally got in my hand. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I cried. I'm like, this is crazy. And then I sent that selfie.
Yeah, it was so good. I love that picture. I shared that picture with our whole staff. I mean, the whole group that was praying for you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that.
Oh, listen. We owe you a lot more thank yous than you owe. So you got to go.
I finally got to go to Rwanda last month, and it was just an amazing. It was like a rediscovery. It was like coming back to my past, living back to where I came from. Like, wow, this is really where I belong. Like, I don't belong here, but just it felt like I was home again. Mm. It felt like I was able to reconnect my roots. And it was just an amazing experience, and I was really blessed to have gone through that, because at first I applied to Israel, but then Israel couldn't happen.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that part of it too. Yeah, so we're finally like, okay, you can go on a trip, and you're like, I'm going to do Israel.
Yes.
And then literally the day after we announced the Israel team was when the current conflict started. And so then you ended up going to get on a Rwanda team.
No regretting that changing. God has his plans.
Out. Yeah.
And so I was able to go to Rwanda. It was wow. It was just amazing. One thing I wanted to highlight, though, was that I was able to reconnect with my uncle.
So this is an absolutely crazy story.
It was so unexpected. So,
and you had no idea that he was there.
No, absolutely no clue. Yeah. I was there. I was just like, hey, I'm expecting people to just speak English. You know, I can't speak in my language because, you know, it's an English-speaking country.
Yeah.
And wow, well, my accent doesn't really say the same. And so once they heard my accent, like, you speak a different language, don't you? I'm like, well, I guess, yeah. But then with that, it was just being able, great to use my language again in a different, just whole outside.
Yeah, no, you know
family.
A lot of languages, so I'm going to ask a silly question. Which language?
So growing up, I learned Kirundi, French, and Kiswahili.
Okay, sorry, say that a little bit slower.
Sorry, I spoke so fast.
No, it's okay.
So growing up, I learned Kirundi from Burundi, French, and Kiswahili.
Okay.
Kirundi I did not really use as much after I left, and so that one I completely forgot. But right now, I still know Swahili and French, which we still use in my family right now. And so like I was saying, that was the language I was able to speak with them and be able to connect with them like that.
Okay.
But then...
So English is your fourth language.
English is my fourth language. And I was learning Spanish too.
Yeah. You're learning Spanish here.
In middle school.
Oh, in middle school.
Yes.
Okay. Did we make you take a language? You took French.
I did French.
Here.
Okay. Yes. All right. Yes. I wanted to just keep up with French. I took French.
Okay.
But yes, that was the language part. But the one with my uncle was just 2 days after we landed, I got a call from my father saying, oh, actually... there is someone there that I used to know that I taught with when we were younger. He's now living in Kigali Christian school. The city of Kigali, but he taught at Christian school as well there. He's like, oh yeah, you should go. You guys should meet. You guys should just talk and catch up. I'm like, are you serious? There's somebody you know that lives here. How much of a coincidence is that? And so that was just crazy being able to connect back. And he was just telling me all these stories when I was young. I'm like, I don't remember any of that. What? But being able to catch up with him, being able to talk, I'm just like, wow.
Yeah.
There's no way I was expecting all this to happen in a trip.
That's wild.
It was
that's
crazy.
Wild. Dorcas, I don't know how you've shouldered so much of this and yet been such a light here. I mean, you have this fan club, and I know you've been carrying this. I mean, what is it that has allowed you to be someone who, in some ways, has such a unique story and is shouldering more than most of our other students, and yet be such a magnet for them, and such a leader? How have you been able to do that?
Jesus, period. Like, that sounds so easy to say. That sounds like, yeah, of course you. Of course it's Jesus, but what has he done? He's done so many things. It's just been quite something. The hills and valleys, but he's been there. The days where I thought he doesn't see me, he doesn't hear my prayers. He was still there. But obviously, beside Jesus, all the support system that I had, the community, the Son of Faith, Christian just came to my life and be like, hey, we got you too. Mm-hmm. We're able to help you with this journey. You're not alone. Being able to have that reassurance was really encouraging. And just being able to see that, it's like, wow, why wouldn't I want to do that for somebody else? Why not? Like, God bless me with this. Why not bless somebody else with the same experience, with the same aspect? Like, somebody's struggling. Like, wow, I faced this. I got you. I can help you with that. This is how I faced it. And this is the solution that I, you know, this is a solution, a solution that we can present into trying to overcome whatever you might be facing. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question that I think most seniors don't like getting. So if you don't know, that's okay.
Okay.
Do you have any sense for after Santa Fe, what's going to happen next?
I am, again, still praying about that, but one of my, a school that I really wanted to go to was Liberty Christian mm-hmm. School, which is in Virginia. It's, yes, across the country.
Yeah.
But just the environment, the education they have, this expectation and standard has really influenced me. And I know a couple people that went there mm-hmm. and still go there, like Kate Phillips, for yeah. example, and Kylie Kennard.
Yeah.
And just being able to hear from their experience right now, currently, it's just been a great encouraging just aspect to hear, like, hey, okay, it might be far. It might be a completely just new, different environments, new states, far from family. But it will help me grow. It will help me mm-hmm. just prepare me for my journey, prepare me for my future. And I'm just really looking forward to that. I don't know how that's going to look like. I'm still trying to figure things out every single day, making decisions that will affect me one way or another. But I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Dorcas, wherever you go, whether it's, you know, college or beyond and beyond, they're getting an amazing person. So I will just say, again, on our behalf, I think lots of students come here and benefit from Santa Fe. I mean, I think honestly, I've been lucky to benefit from a lot of this place, and other students come and leave an impact. I mean, I don't know of anyone who has come and made us better in the same way that you have. So truly, like, it's been our honor. And thank you for choosing Santa Fe.
I've been blessed. I'm the one who's blessed here.
I don't know. I don't think so. Did you hear what I just said? I don't think so.
I mean.
Well,
thank you.
We're lucky to have had you, and we're here for you onward. And thanks for coming on the podcast here and just sharing about your experience.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for putting up with my questions that, you know, brought some emotion. But yes. We appreciate that authenticity.
Hey, it's reality. It's real.
It's reality.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks to those of you who are listening and watching as well. If this is your first time joining our Eagle Perspective podcast, we've got lots of other episodes with students, alumni, some of our faculty, some outside guests, you name it. We'd love to have you check them out. You can find our other episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, elsewhere podcasts are available. You can watch the video podcasts on YouTube. Hope to see you again soon.